It's good to be back with you this week. Last week, me and Pastor Jason went to Atlanta, and we're at what's called the Orange Conference, and they did have a lot of orange stuff there. It was fun. I wore my Cornerstone Student Ministry shirt, and we had a ball, so it was a great time. Learned a bunch of stuff, excited about implementing it, and getting to work with you guys with some new info. Pastor Izzy got you started last week with this whole series on Haggai, okay? Haggai is this prophet who just kind of comes on the scene in this short little book in the Bible, and he declares to the people of Israel, to their governor who was in the lineage of the king, and to their high priest, and he encourages them to continue the work on the temple, right? That's where we kind of left off with last week. They got started, and they started doing what God had called them to do, all right, which is awesome. Okay, this week, we're going to get into chapter 2. We're going to talk about what happens once they begin this project. Have you ever had somebody in your life who you just love to be around this person? They were just like either a really fun person or funny or just enjoyable or really smart or really good at something that you want to be really good at. Okay, somebody that you really enjoy being around, right? I bet you could think of somebody. One of the people that I love to just be around, a couple of them, are the guys that lead our journey group leaders. Okay, her too, of course. I mean, obviously. Okay. So I was thinking, you know, just like Mr. Jim, Mr. Allen, those guys, I love just getting to go to our journey group and hang out with them and play games or talk about things together. Hopefully you have some people in your life that are like that as well. Probably a friend, maybe a teammate, a coach, maybe it's a sibling or a parent. Maybe when I say that, you're like, no, definitely not my sibling or my parent. I do not like hanging out and being around them. That's okay, all right? But you still need to love them because that's what God says, okay? Now, I want you to think of some time when you have experienced this totally separate, okay? When you have experienced disappointment, okay? A time when you had been looking forward to doing something, and when you finally got to do it, it was not as cool as you thought it was going to be. Or you wanted something for Christmas, and when you finally got to get it on Christmas Day, it like broke, or you were like, oh, it looks so much cooler in the commercial or at the store. I don't know about you guys. I've definitely had some of that. Anybody else had experiences like that where you're like, man, I thought this was going to be amazing, and then it was super lame? Okay, I've heard some people have had experiences like that at Disney World or something, where they've gone and they've been super excited about Disney World, and then they get there and they have to stand in line, and it's hot, and they ran out of what they wanted to eat, or they wanted to go up inside of Cinderella's castle and didn't realize you needed a reservation. Different things like that where people were disappointed when they finally got to see something or receive something that they had been looking forward to. Well, this is the attitude that we kind of see with the people of Israel when we get started with chapter 2. This begins 1 month approximately after they begin work on the temple, okay? So 1 month after they begin the temple, we're going to read the beginning of Haggai 2, starting in verse 1. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Quote, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? So God starts out, they're beginning to build this. Can somebody bring my mic down just a little bit, maybe? It's the first channel there, Blake. Kind of check, check. Can you still hear me okay? All right, cool. It was feeding back and throwing me off. Okay, so the first thing that they do is they begin building, but what happens is they're trying to build a temple because they've been sent back out of exile to rebuild the temple, rebuild the city in a way. But when they start building it, they realize that this temple is not as cool as the last one was. Okay, some of the older people who had been there before the exile, they remembered how amazing the temple that King Solomon had built, how awesome it was. I mean, there was so much gold on this thing, imported wood from around the world. It was a super impressive place. So they begin working on this new temple that they're going to build, but when they look at what it is in comparison, they go, man, this is kind of lame. This is not as cool as we thought it was going to be when we made this trip back here to build this thing, and now we've been waiting all this time for the temple, and man. So they're really disappointed. They're having that Christmas morning, finally got the present, and then it breaks, or then we finally get to Disney World, and we have to stand in line, and it's not as great as what we had thought it would be. So they have this disappointment, and God recognizes it, and he calls it out, and he says, you know, who is left among you who remembers this house or this temple, okay, in its former glory, the old one, how great it was? How do you see this one now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Is it like, man, this thing, I'd rather not have anything at all almost, right? This is a sad excuse compared to what we used to have. They were really disappointed. God's presence in the primary, the first point I want you to look at here is the people were disappointed. Like super, all right? They had been working on this thing for a month. A month. Imagine you building some kind of enormous, huge, I mean, if we went in here and we're trying to build the hub, that's a lot of work, right? They didn't have hydraulic cranes and things like that to be able to put together. So they're lifting huge blocks of stone, and they're cutting all this wood and setting things up, moving it around. Lots of hard work. This is in the Middle East. It's hot, okay? They are working so hard for diminishing returns, very little, that they're going, man, this is not as great as we thought it would be. They missed out on something important, though, and that's your next thing. God's presence is the primary blessing and hope of his people. What they were missing out on was that even though this outer shell of the temple was not as cool as it once had been, it was the same Lord that was going to dwell there as had been during the time of Solomon. It was the same God that they were worshiping, same Lord. But the earthly temple was a disappointment to them. It wasn't as great as what they had thought. A great question when we think about how this would apply for us is, will we continue to follow God even when we're disappointed with circumstances? Will we continue to follow God even when we move to a place in our life where things aren't going the way that we really anticipated them going? Or we expected God to move in a certain way, but he did something different. Or it seems like, I wonder if God's really working in this area because it's not all that I had hoped it to be. See, our problem is that we look for self-centered blessings, okay? We look for blessings that we enjoy, right? Nobody goes in, I don't think, I mean, maybe somebody does, but most people go in on Christmas morning and they want to find the presents with their name on it, right? Like, little kids wake up and they're like throwing other people's presents. They don't care. And they're like, where is my presents? How many do I have? Where's the thing that I've been looking for? They don't care about all this other stuff because we are self-centered by nature. Okay? We care about what we want. And over in the Bible, God gets at the idea that it's not about everything that you want necessarily. I've got a bigger plan going on. And so maybe, yeah, the temple doesn't look as good as you thought. And we're going to get into why later on, probably next week. But he says, it's me that's there. Check out verse 4, okay? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. So he gives three different things here. He says for them to be strong, right? To work, and to fear not. Why? Because he is with them. He says, my presence is still here in your midst, even though this building isn't as good as you thought it would be or was disappointing and you came to a point, guess what? I'm still the same Lord. And he reminds them of this time when they had come out of slavery hundreds of years before. They had come out of slavery in Egypt. God had done amazing things. He splits the Red Sea open. All the people walk through. They're being chased by this army, and God annihilates the army and cuts them off from being able to harm the people of Israel. And he makes a covenant with him when he gives them the Ten Commandments and the Levitical law and all of those things. He gives it to them, and he says, you will be my people, and I will be your God. We hear this over and over in Scripture. You will be my people, or they will be my people, and I will be their God. And that's one of the huge things. And he reminds them here, nothing's changed with that, okay? Because guess what? They used to just have a tent. And the same Lord came, and he met with them there. His presence was still there among them. Then Solomon builds this temple, and it's way better. And the same Lord comes, and he dwells there among his people. And now they've come back out of exile in Babylon, and he's saying, hey, it's all right. The place may not come up to what you think it should be, but I am not a disappointment by any means, okay? God doesn't disappoint. He may not do something in the way we want him to do it, but God is not going to stop being good or all-powerful or all-knowing or any of these traits that we know God is. That we're not going to wake up one morning and God suddenly, I'm not loving anymore, or I'm not a just God anymore, or anything like that, okay? He says, I'm not going to disappoint in being who I am. So we look at this. He reminds them about this, and he tells them to do three things. So we see God encourages the people. He encourages them. I think it would have been easy if I was God, which everybody, let's just praise the Lord that I'm not God, okay, because that would be a messed up thing. But God, okay, he could have come down and been like, what are you guys thinking, you know, like smack them on the head and be like, you know, of course, if God smacks you, like, you're obliterated. There's no more you, okay? But if God had done something to try and, you know, be disciplinary and get on to them about, hey, pay attention. I'm God. I'm great. You know, get together because you guys are not being the people I've called you to be. He's not coming at it from an angry perspective. He's coming at it as an encourager. And I know we talked about this a few weeks ago, about our role as Christians with our words. We are called to be encouragers, right? One of the reasons why is because God is an encourager, okay? When we are encouraging, we are being like Christ. We are being like our Lord because we are lifting people up and calling them to be all that God has created them to be. So, we have this problem, remember? We look for self-centered blessings. The solution, though, is to look to God to satisfy us, okay? To look to God to satisfy you. How easy is it for us to look for other things to satisfy us, right? We'll say, if only I could get a girlfriend or a boyfriend. If only I could get that grade. If only I could make it on this team. If only I could have this new game system. If only I could go and be in high school already. All right? Things that are on this planet, things that are material, they will disappoint. At one point, flip phones were the coolest thing out there, okay? Okay, let me tell you. The Razor, Motorola Razor, okay? Some people are still rocking those things because they are made to last, okay? But when it came out, it was like the coolest phone, like the coolest device out there. You could get on the internet a little with it, okay? And that was a lot more than anything else, right? It was an amazing piece of technology. But what happened? Yeah, it became outdated, right? Okay, there was something else that was better that came along, right? What's up, Blake?
I tell you one thing, those things never break.
They always break in three pieces, and you can put them back together, okay? It's great, right? They never are broken, really. I've never found one to be truly broken, but what comes along is something else gets better, and it's, oh, man. I mean, what if one of your parents, you were like, hey, I want a cell phone that I could have. And you guys know the whole sales pitch, right? You're like, because you need to know where I am and I need to be able to get in touch with you if I was in danger, right? Like, you guys have the sales pitch. If you've not, or if you've had to ask them, I know you know what I'm talking about, right? You're trying to convince your parents that you need a cell phone. Well, you would be ultra disappointed if they came to you and said, okay, you can have a cell phone, and then handed you a razor, right? All right? You would be, I bet you would not be like, this is exactly what I was talking about. No, you'd want either some kind of Android or iPhone, or for those of you that are super cool, a BlackBerry? Are those still a thing even? Right? Okay, I don't know. You would want some kind of phone that allows you to do the things that you want, okay? Yeah, okay. Some of us still have other things, but you would be really disappointed if you thought that you were getting one thing, you got another. That's where the Israelites were at, but it was because they were looking to be satisfied by this material thing that they were working on. They were looking to find some kind of fulfillment and purpose and all these things in stuff rather than in God, okay? Stuff will rust, it will rot, it will be destroyed, it will be stolen, all of those kinds of things. The Lord cannot have any of that happen to him. There's nothing that's going to come along that's going to be like the Lord 2.0, okay? There is no a better version of who God is. He is the ultimate greatest, okay? And I think we fail to think that sometimes. We think that God is just a little bit better than what humans are a lot of times. That, okay, well, God could walk on water, so he's like a superhuman, and that's about all that makes God God. Better than human. that he has a couple of special little powers and things like that. We fail to recognize the amazing aspects of who God is. And we fail to realize that God has said, my presence can be here and dwell among you. That's what the name Emmanuel means, that we see Jesus is referred to. It means God with us, okay? And now we don't even just have God with us. If you're a believer, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And so God can dwell in us, prompting us, moving us, comforting us, changing us, working in and through us. But instead, we'll look for some kind of a material thing. We've got to look to God to satisfy us and to know that, hey, I can go without all of these other things. Anybody ever heard of Philippians 4:13? Yep. Anybody know that verse? All right, somebody tell it to me real quick.
Man, I said, yeah.
Oh, come on.
I can do all things
through Christ. There you go, okay? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Anybody know what the context of that is? Okay, that's true. Do what? Okay, yeah, that probably wouldn't help, but Michelle? Okay, yes. You know what, like, Ephesians 4, 11, and 12 talks about? Okay. Here's what it's getting at. Here's what Paul is getting at right before that. He says, I've been in prison for the gospel. I have done without and been poor and homeless. I have had much and lived in villas in Italy, okay? I've had all kinds of different circumstances, but you know what has gotten me through all of it? That I can have strength to be able to It doesn't mean really do all things as much as endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, Paul knew that he had to look for his satisfaction to be in Jesus rather than in stuff, rather than in whether he was a popular guy or not. Because if Paul was looking to be a popular guy, he would not have continued following Jesus when he was thrown in prison. That was not his end goal. His end goal was to love Christ. His end goal was to do everything that God had called him to do. And I think what God had called him to do was very similar to what God is calling the people of Israel to do there. He tells them to be strong. He tells them to work. He tells them to fear not. Three huge things that if you are the Apostle Paul traveling around the world, being imprisoned, going and teaching new churches, establishing them. These three things are going to be huge, right?
Yep.
To be strong, to not fear, to work. Those are huge things. And so for us to look to God to satisfy us is the only way for that to be able to be sustained. Otherwise, something's going to come along and we're going to be afraid. Otherwise, something's going to come along and we're going to think, man, I can't go any further. I've lost my strength. Something else is going to come along and we're going to feel like we don't have any purpose. Pick it up here in verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. I will fill the house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. Get that, the Lord of hosts thing that keeps on going over and over. He keeps saying, says the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts. It's a constant reminder here of how great God is. Then he says in verse 9, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. You know what is crazy is this second temple is taken down, basically, and what they call Herod's temple is erected there on that same place. And that is the temple that Jesus goes to when he's tempted by Satan. He's standing on top of that temple. Okay? When he goes into the temple and cleanses it and flips tables and stuff, it's that temple. A lot of scholars think that when it says here that the glory will be greater, that it's talking about that, yeah, God's Spirit has come down and been here on the Ark of the Covenant before, but guess what? The incarnate being of Jesus, the Son of God, is going to come and walk here. And that's going to be really amazing. Well, guys, guess what we get to know thousands of years later? John reveals that Christ is going to come again, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and he is going to rule from that place in Jerusalem. And that in Philippians, as Pastor Bill taught a few weeks ago, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's where he's going to be, you guys. It's not going to be up on a cloud, okay? It's going to be in the same place. And so God gives them a promise toward the future. He promises them something as an encouragement towards the future, to keep going, to continue to work at what they're doing, because even though they don't see something in the temporary place that they're at, he says, I've got the plan. I know what's going on here. Nobody really is super excited about some slop that goes on property that they build, but you've got to put in this slop called concrete, and then you dry it, and then you build on top of that, and then you get your house, right? It's not real impressive at the beginning. You're like, here's a bunch of dirt and water and rocks and junk that is getting poured in this frame. Okay, nobody's super excited about that typically. But your goal is that you've got an architect who has a plan, and he's working out that plan. And part of the plan is you got to put this stuff in first to build upon, because then in the end you're going to be able to have this house and it'll stand and it'll last. If you tried to build the nice stuff with the 2x4s and the drywall and the roof with shingles and all that kind of stuff, and you didn't put in a foundation, well, next time you get a Hurricane Matthew coming through, it's gone, okay? It's not going to be there. That foundation is foundational, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's foundational. It is absolutely necessary for something greater to come. And so God promises them of this greater glory that is to come. Now, what are the three things he reminds us to do? Right? Be strong, work, and don't fear. Be strong, work, fear not. Now, if we're looking to ourselves even to satisfy these things, we're going to become discouraged. We're not going to continue in doing what God has called us to do. This is key right here. God's presence gives us the strength, the purpose, and the courage to live the life God, or Jesus, has called us to on a daily basis. If we don't look to the Lord, we're going to become discouraged, okay? We're going to run out of one of these things, and then we're not going to be able to fulfill that same calling in our life. If we aren't looking to God, who gives us strength, then we're going to grow weary and tired. We're not going to want to continue. We're not going to want to do this stuff. Or we'll try and be strong in our own power, but that will run out. Okay? If we're not in the Lord's presence and we don't have a sense of purpose, we become discouraged. We may actually become depressed because we go, why am I even here? What's the point? The world could just go on without me being here too. And God says, no, I created you with a specific purpose. Nobody else is you. I have made you in my image. You have amazing purpose for your life. And so there's a special work, and I'm not talking about necessarily laying bricks or building this or punching numbers or something like that, but there is a specific thing that you are called to do in your life. You're called to be a disciple of Christ. You're called to disciple others, to pass on what you have learned to someone else, to continue to grow yourself. There are people that are going to be able to connect with you. Check this out, guys. There are people that are going to be able to connect with you and your story in your life. And you have a specific calling to be there, to bridge that gap, to show them the love of Christ. And so we get to do this, and he says, you've got an amazing purpose. And we realize this purpose when we are continually in the presence of God, when we're aware that the Lord is with us, he's in us. If you're a believer, this is true. Okay, if you're not a believer, you need to come and talk to one of us, because this is not going to be true. And you're going to run out of these things, and you're going to become discouraged, which is the last thing, courage. To fear not, he said. If we do not have this, where we're going, I've got the Lord on my side. Who can stand against the Lord? He created everything. He's got power over everything. He can walk on water. Psh, that's nothing. He created the water from nothing. He just said, be, and it was, okay? He is that kind of God. He created the whole planet for that water to go on. He created the sun for that planet to go around. He created the galaxy to house that sun for that planet to go around, for the water to go on top of. And he created a bunch more galaxies than just that. And by a bunch, I mean more than you can think of. Okay? A bunch. Bunches.
75.
Probably 75 billion plus.
Like a lot of zeros.
Something like that. Yeah. Okay. So, when we come up against something, okay, when we come up against something in our life, we don't need to fear, because we know that God is with us. And when we're walking in his will, in his purpose for our life, he says, I will enable you. You are able to do all of these things through Christ, who strengthens you, who gives you the courage to be able to go up to anything. You guys, you don't need to be afraid of the dark, all right? Like, right? Okay? Who cares, right? Who cares? All right, now, here's the thing. You need to also have wisdom paired with that, because there are still bears out there, okay? There's still coyotes. There's still people out there that are evil, okay? Here's the thing, though. You are able to go boldly into the world, walking within the purpose of God for your life, and he can give you the courage to make it that next step. Whether you are going through a hard time with your family, God can give you the courage to continue. God can give you the strength to make it through that. Or pretty much everybody in here this week, right? Exams? Ugh.
Yeah.
The brought worst, God is able to bring you through that. And as I prayed for the guys on Sunday night, I didn't pray, Lord, give everybody 100 on their exam or anything like that, okay? No, because here's the thing. You need to study and not just bank on Pastor Scott will pray for us and then we'll all be fine, okay? You got to do the right thing ahead of time and do your studying, but Pastor Scott will pray for you to recall the things of which you have studied. And he'll pray for you not to be anxious about that test and to be confident going into it, to not have your nerves shaking and freaking out, to do your best on that day. Okay? I'll pray for those things. But God has given you this, and so when we are walking in line with what God has called us to do in life, he says, I will give you the strength to be strong. I will give you the purpose to work. I will give you the courage so that you don't have to fear. Because I am in your midst, right? That's what he says right there in Haggai 2. He says, I am in your midst. He's among them. Right at the end of verse 5, he says, my spirit remains in your midst. And if you are a believer in Christ, he says, my spirit is within you, okay? My spirit is within you, not just among you. I can be among you guys. I can't like somehow metaphysically go inside of you, okay? The Lord can, like the Lord says, if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit comes upon you and lives in you. Okay? He's able to do that. So how do we do this? We're strong when we trust the Spirit to strengthen us. We work trusting Christ to work through us. And we do not fear because we trust God to hold us secure. I want to challenge you for this week. How can you trust God with more things in your life? What are things that you go, I trust the Lord with a lot, but this kind of stuff, I'll keep a hold of, and because we do that, right? We go, I trust the Lord with stuff except for my dating relationships because I like to do my own thing there, or except with my time management because, and guys, that's a really tough one because how many of you guys like to waste time like I do? Yikes. Okay? Yikes. It's bad. Okay? It's hard. But God has given us this time with a purpose, right? He's given us time for a purpose. So we've got to trust him with it. We've got to trust the Lord. Hey, use my time how you want. Okay? Use me for your purposes. Because each and every one of you has purpose for being here. There's no accident about that. Even to be here tonight and hear these things, it's not just a coincidence or anything, right? We believe in a big God who's able. So I want you, as we continue, all right, we call this series Get Real because even though it's about people 2,500 years ago, it's super able to be applied to our lives. We've got to do these things where we trust the Lord, where if we are a believer, we're banking on him. We're saying, Lord, you've got this. You're strong. There's nothing to fear out there because you are the biggest, strongest. You know all of it. Like, you've got this. So I don't have to just act out of my own, you know, muscle and might and knowledge. I can trust in you. We're called to be in the presence of God. And so when we wrap our life around him, not around school, not around a sport, not around anything else, yeah, a person, some kind of a relationship, okay? Those things are good. I'm not discouraging you from those things. But our foundation, the thing that we revolve around, has got to be the Lord. It's got to be Christ. Otherwise, all the other stuff ends up falling apart. We get discouraged. All right? So this week, how can you get real in this area? I want you to think about that here as we pray and close out. And then I want to remind you of a few things before we're dismissed and we can hang out in here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this message through the book of Haggai. And we ask that as we read and as we talk about this, and as we go out this week, that you would remind us that you are awesome and worthy of our praise, and that you dwell in our midst, that you're not just some God that's far off and distant or angry, but you're an encourager to us, Lord, that you are for us, that you want what is best. So help us to trust you in what we do. Help us to live in a way that we're working, that we're walking out this truth that we say we believe, Lord. God, as we go, and many of these students still have exams and testing this week, Lord, we pray that you would continue to guide them through it, that you would bring to their memory the things that they've studied, that they would not be anxious about this, but rather that they would go to you and that they would study well and diligently, Lord, and help them to give an accurate assessment to their teachers of how they're doing so that they can continue to develop and grow in the way that you would want them to, God. So we ask that you would be with us this week, that you would challenge us in how we can follow you, and we would do all of this in Christ's name. Amen.